Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Monday, the 30th of May, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It is Monday, the 30th of May, 2022, and welcome to another episode of The Bahamas, where we discuss all the interesting and fascinating and mind-blowing things that have taken place in the archipelago over the last few days. Joining me in studio this morning are Tate Adley and Matt Aubrey from Organization for Responsible Government, and they're bringing into studio with them their new project. I call it Access Parliament. And Access Parliament is an online space that helps us stay connected to the proceedings in the House of Assembly. And this morning, we're going to be talking a bit about the budget communication. So for my audience this morning that wants to join the conversation, I have a couple of questions for you. What do you think so far? I know the government has posted a beautiful digital pamphlet of the tax changes. Changes to duty on a large number of items. Another question, what is your line item? If you were Prime Minister, Minister of Finance for the day, and you had the final word on the budget, what is your line item? What do you think should be prioritized in this year's budget? And I guess the most important question, how are we going to pay for everything in that little red box? I can't believe that OBEA is still illegal in the Bahamas, not because we are African descent, black majority country, but because that little box, that box, tiny, but there's billions and billions and billions of dollars of ideas be sitting in there. And I just wonder, how are we going to pay for it all? And so those are the questions I have for the audience. Today, you want to join the conversation, you could call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You could download the Guardian Radio app for Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on the video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. And then remember the good old text line, the good old text line, that's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Don't forget, that's powered by BTC. And on a quick note, I thought that my whole month of May would be powered by mangoes. I'd put it in my personal budget. I have no idea. I'm about to call the Prime Minister, Minister of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs. And I am so glad for this new composition of a ministry because I think there's a direct link to the absence of mangoes in New Providence and the Family Island Affairs in the Family Islands. Dear Family Island people, particularly Eleuthera, I don't know what these Nassau people did to you. I am apologizing on behalf of all of Nassau and New Providence, since they are two separate places. Some people go to Miami, but I go to Florida. That's kind of why. But what I'm saying is, whoever made you mad, write their name on a letter and send it to Nassau on a mailboat attached to a case of mangoes for me. And I will deal with them. I don't know if there's a mango crisis. I wish you all would send word. I could get the troops on it. I have a friend at CARICOM. We could get somebody out there. Is it the raccoons? Are the raccoons eating all the mangoes in Eleuthera, in Andrus, in Abaco? Because I also have some raccoon friends, and I could help you all deal with that too. Right? Just saying, there's a whole bunch of us people in New Providence, and we are very, very sad because there's not enough mango, scarlet plum, or red plum in New Providence for our liking. And when I say liking, my doctor has told me that I need to do something about it because it's a problem. Also, I want to say condolences to the family of Asa Albury, the farmer. Now, I know that Asa passed a while ago in the midst of the pandemic, and we were saddened to hear the news because we heard well after his passing. Asa was one of those farmers and vendors that tried to make sure that people in New Providence could have some of the wonderfulness that the people on the island had. But when Asa died, when Asa passed away, sadly, a lot of knowledge passed with him. Because it appeared as if Asa was the keeper of the scarlet plum trees. Like he knew where all of them was in North Eleuthera. In fact, he invited us down one year because he said, girls, I can't pick enough scarlet plum, but I could show you where the trees are and maybe you could get them yourself. The trees are like abandoned on property. It's sort of like, what do you say, common usage of the beach, right? Like common access. Like people, you could go on the property, you just can't claim it as your own. And so the family islanders have their own rules about these things, right? But Asa had relationships with people where he could access the scarlet plum. So my dear Luther friends, the scarlet plums are there. They're in the bush. They're waiting for you to pick them. And here we are in New Providence waiting for you to send them so we could buy them and send you all some money. This is a beautiful relationship, and I would love for it to continue. Don't let these Nassau people run you so hot that you keep all your produce to yourself. I mean, I's Nassau people, and I get it. I understand. But we're very sad. We need your help on the family islands. If you get mangoes, if you get plums, just know the people want them, and they're willing to buy them. Don't let them go to waste. Don't let them rot under your tree. Call somebody. Call your church. Ask the church if they could organize a team, a young people, to come and collect the fruit before you let it go to waste. Or better yet, call the Ministry of Agriculture. Call BAIC or call BAMSI and ask them if they have a list of farmers or vendors who would like to come and buy the fruit or collect the fruit or harvest the fruit because you can't harvest it yourself. And then they could process it so other people could enjoy it. Things are about to get rough. Things are about to get rough. And the one thing that we do have that we don't have to rely on importers, we don't have to rely on an external or a foreign market, is our local fruit stock. So let's not let it go to waste this year. Okay, guys, another quick note. I'd like to thank all the fruit, all my guardian angels that whispered fruit in my ears, because I have a little couple of other things to talk about. I'd like to say this. Who is out here telling people that banks only keep records for 7 years? Now, I know it may be an industry practice that the banks don't have to give you access to certain records that are your records after 7 years, but surely the bank keeps records for longer than 7 years because they would need those records in case there's ever a case, right? In case they ever have to go to court to deal with a matter. Surely the bank don't destroy records after. See, Batelco could have come to me and tell me, oh, we purge our system every 6 months, so there's no way on this good God's good earth that we could figure out who was stalking you by telephone. See, I could sort of accept that they would tell me that, because I ain't nobody. But how could a bank be telling people that they destroy records after 7 years? Now, I know NIB payments are not the same as a mortgage. Like, a mortgage could be 30 years. They got to keep those records for quite a while, right? But what I would do, I would say to anybody who's been told by a bank that there's nothing they could do to help you because they, you know, they don't keep their records past 7 years, go call the Eugene DePuch Law School, ask them for the number for the legal aid clinic, and get you some good legal advice, okay? That's what you do before you give up on something like that. Also, to the gentleman in the well-tailored suit driving the scooter 1712, scooting through traffic this morning, I don't mean to be somber or rude, but, you know, if they buried you in that suit, it would still be a good look. St- stop doing foolishness and risking your own life and other people's lives on the road. Also, to the two gentlemen in the four-wheeler with no plates on it, but I'd like to say that the driver was in a really nice suit, you know. Perhaps you all should stop doing foolishness on the Bahamian Road. Also, another quick traffic question. Do Corps of Diplomat plates have to stop at pedestrian crossings or even use turn signals? I just want to know, I'm not a diplomat. I don't work for the diplomatic corps, but if somebody could reach out and tell me if they are required to do that, I would like that greatly. And then I wanted to ask the question, do any of you really care about traffic anymore? It doesn't seem so. It doesn't seem like you all really care. And I just wanted to say this because it turns out that Lincoln Bain isn't the only bully with a deadly weapon out there. Dear Lincoln Bain, there's a headline from Eyewitness News this weekend. It reads, "Don't come back. Police investigating video of Lincoln Bain firing shots in defense of Crown land." Well, let's start right there. Lincoln Bain, you think the Queen needs you to defend her land for her? She have the whole Bahamas Defense Force, the whole Royal Bahamas Police Force. She have the whole United States of America military complex. And the forces of all of the members of the Commonwealth at her disposal. You think she needs you to go run out in the bush with guns to defend Crown land? But you know who needs defending? The unhoused. They need defending with real affordable and safe housing options. Because I can't believe that a Christian nation would suggest that you could go to jail for not having some place to live. You know who else needs defending? The hungry. With real sustainable and accessible food sustainability projects. Somebody's telling me, oh no, they didn't replant pine trees in the pine forest after they took pine trees down. They planted fruit and vegetable. And somebody suggested to me because the pine trees can't grow back in the pine forest where they were removed from. I mean, grammatically not correct, but still, I'm stunned. You know who else needs defending? The vulnerable. Young girls and boys, single mothers, elderly men and women, the disabled, the differently abled, the marginalized due to mental health issues, workers need defending in this country. Not your ego, Mr. Bain. See, this type of violence doesn't stop. The cycle never ends. So it's up to us to end it before it begins. And it's important for all right-thinking and sensible people to tell Lincoln Bain and anybody with that mindset that that is not the type of social justice movement that we want in our country. And I think it's fair to say that we call upon the police to ensure that the gentleman cannot use his gun again by revoking his license. And that's the power that you have. That's the power that you have. Anyway, it's time for people to start standing up. For real. It's time for people to start standing up and defending the vulnerable in this country. And not for political gain or social credit, but because it is the right thing to do. And talk about defending, there's a new trade union congress in the town. The Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress was announced, its new formation was announced this weekend. I'm still a bit stunned, there's still lots of questions to ask. Reports say that the new president is Belinda Wilson, and the vice president is Kimsley Ferguson. Now, I got a ton of questions to ask about this, but I think I would like to bring in my guests, Matt and Tate, but after our conversation, right? So after we talk about the debate, I think that's something we could circle back around to, because I'm interested to see what the government, what this administration's plans are to protect workers and laborers, especially as we're so close to Labor Day. And we see that through the budget by seeing how much money they actually invest in workers and labor issues. So I got a couple of texts here. Morning, Ms. Green. He say he is full-time. By faxing. Text, I need you to resend me that text. Food security for this country needs defending. Another text, great show as usual. What was Mr. Bain thinking? He put himself to lead the country and acting like that, and that's what the younger people watching. He is a disgrace, one big disgrace. Mr. Bain is acting worse than minutes, and I thought that would be super impossible to do. Another text says, boy, y'all mix up. Lincoln is fighting for all of us. Y'all rather the Haitians cut and burn all our trees and we be desolate like Haiti. Oh, no, 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 dear sir. That is not what anybody is suggesting. What I am suggesting to you is that Mr. Bain's actions are reckless and they are dangerous. And they not only endanger vulnerable people in this town, but he has endangered his own followers by not moderating his actions and behavior. He has made them more vulnerable. There are far more savvy and sensible strategies, ways to go about this, dealing with this matter. And running in the bush and firing off shots while rowing Haitians is not the way to go. That's simple. You could defend the Bahamian people. You could have a plan of action that does not involve terrorizing and making scapegoats out of vulnerable people in your country. See, first it's the Haitians. And then next it'll be the homosexuals. And then there won't be an Aaron Green to say, hey, this isn't even a Christian nation. You can't just do away with the heathens. Good morning, Aaron. Yes, please tell the chief of police, on behalf of law-abiding citizens, we need traffic police on the streets. Please, this is far too many people breaking road traffic laws, and this could be great revenue for the government. Driving in Nassau is extremely awful and unsafe. We need the police on the streets, please. Yes, we do. Please. All right, let's go to these callers dead quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. You know, Ms. Green, you know, Lincoln Bain got some issues where he professes to be progressive and he's not. Right? When he should have advocated for a livable wage. You know, he should have advocated for public housing. You know, he should advocate for fair taxes. Mm-hmm. And this is a budgetary time, and we need to be distracted and deal with it. We need to ask our government, not the PLP, we need to ask our government, what are they going to do for housing for the poor? Are they going to continue to take all the crown, all the crown land and do single family dwellings that we don't have? Are they going to perhaps do some multi-story units? For the middle class, who they seem to be budgeting for, and especially the public service. You know, are they going to build multi units where they sell units to the public service and to the middle class and give to the poor? You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? In the same building. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. One more caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Carly, they just attack you in the voice along with you. Pretty eyes, Aaron Green.
Good morning, Bremen.
How are you doing on this day?
I'm good, thank you.
Say it again?
I said I'm good.
Wonderful.
I don't have any mangoes, but I'm still good.
Oh, well, thank God. And wait off. We all are here.
Yes, sir.
And we just have a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
And we got to be careful of losing our properties also. Our crown land is ours.
No, it's not ours.
Say it again?
It's not ours. It belongs to the crown. It belonged to the queen. Now, mind you, the queen is my cousin, so I claim it, but it ain't ours. You related to the queen?
She put it in escrow for us.
She put it in escrow?
I have another question for you.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, it's a long story on that crown land. We got to get into that one other day.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I want to say is, right,
mm-hmm.
this situation with the Melinda Wilson?
The new union?
You're right.
Yeah.
The thing is, they had put, what's the name of it again?
Man, Bremen, do me a favor.
Wait, I want to say something.
I know you want to say something, but I want you to call back when we get to that segment.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I let the producer know to please let you in when we get to that segment. All right, guys, I'd like to thank you for your patience. Mr. Tate Adley, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Mr. Matt Aubrey, good morning.
Good morning. Always good to be here.
Absolutely. I'm always glad to have you. So it's budget time, right? And over the last few days, I talked to Chester Wednesday of last week at the budget communication. And we were just talking about how important it is to be a part of the budget mm-hmm. discussion, the budget debate, the budget communication, how important it is to follow it, to understand it, and to follow it. Whether you are an economist, whether you are the family economist and you're responsible for the short-term, mid-term, and long-term family budget projections, or you are a political advocate, you are a social justice advocate, following the budget debate and communication can help you understand what the government's intention is and also help you determine their ability or capacity to deliver on those promises or policy promises, right? I want to make a distinction between a campaign promise and sort of a budget and policy promise. And so, I've asked you guys to bring along with you the newest, I think one of the newest additions to the Organization for Responsible Government Family, Access Parliament.
Right.
Please tell the people briefly what Access Parliament is about.
Okay, so Access Parliament is pretty much a new initiative that is coming under the Organization for Responsible Governance Citizen Solution Center, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a center where persons are allowed to be involved in more civic processes. So Access Parliament is one of them. And so we want to make governance in itself more inclusive towards people. And for it to be more inclusive, I think it's important to, first of all, understand what's going on. And so Access Parliament basically helps people what's going on in Parliament. And what's happening now is one of the most important times in the year in regards to parliamentary democracy, mm-hmm. and that is the budget. And that is deciding what are the government's policy options or policy initiatives for the fiscal year and what amount of money they're allocated towards those policy initiatives. And so because of that, we want people to have the ability to understand, have the ability to tune into the conversation so that our budget making can be a bit more participatory and mm-hmm. inclusive towards people in mm-hmm. the Bahamas.
And I guess to use an analogy in the family, their parents invite your children mm-hmm. to the budget meetings, right? So that they could understand how it works. And so your children could say, look here, I know it's 6 months away from my birthday and I haven't been a good child. So you may not have been preparing in this year's budget for my birthday gift, but I endeavor to do my best to change this forecast, right? Let them be a part at some level of the discussion so they can understand how it works. And the same thing for the Bahamian people, right?
Mm, right.
Like, you know, the budget is in June. So if you have an initiative you want to see in your community, get to your MPs well before June.
Well, I think, and you said it so well. I mean, what we know is that when citizens are paying attention to the budget, when they are participating in the budget, as Tate says, you have better opportunities for better government. Mm-hmm. Thinking about the fact that, and you said it's for social justice advocates, it's for people who are more policy oriented. But the truth is, and I think our stand is, it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's important. You wouldn't just sit by and let somebody spend your own money without having a say or wanting to know what it is. Well, but ultimately, this is the people's money. It is your taxes that are fueling government. So what we've done through Access Parliament and a whole suite of free online tools that people can go check out at orgbahamas.com and orgtransparency.org are whole things that you can then ultimately find out for yourself. What we do know that as the government presents its budget and as the opposition responds to it and as the media puts it in the newspaper, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of things that if you just went on the headlines, you may not necessarily fully understand what the government is trying to do, the ways that it's doing it well, the ways that maybe it hasn't met its obligations yet, other areas that might still need more information. So our goal is to give people access to information so that they can look at it and see it for themselves and then have an opportunity to make an expression of interest, whether you think you support something, whether something is not to your liking, whether you have an interesting idea of a way that could be leveraged. We're in the middle of the budget season now, so it's obviously a good time to be paying attention. But to your point, this is something people should be paying attention to all year long.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so that when, so you don't feel left out.
Right.
And you don't have to feel left out because, like you say, it's your money.
Well, and what we know is across the world where citizens have more of a role in budgeting, they're more aware, they're looking at it, they're paying attention, and they're talking to those folks that they elected to represent them about those things. You might say, hey, well, we see potholes in my neighborhood. How come that's not being addressed? We see our parks are not usable for our kids. What's happening about that? Education, we just had a whole stretch of time where the education was compromised for everybody. How are we spending on that? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that people have that understanding because this matters to you. And what happens is when citizens do pay attention, you have greater accountability. Government is more likely to spend money more effectively. Services are made more likely to respond based on the investments that were made. Issues of concern can be addressed, and you build better trust between both government and the citizens. So there's a direct implication now to make sure that the monies the 10% that comes out of every purchase you make, the duties that you pay when you come in, or the import duties on different items, all of those are being spent in the right way. Mm-hmm. But there's also an important stretch to say, how do we make sure that what the government is doing now has an impact in the quality of my and my family's lives, my community's lives, and ultimately the growth of the nation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is one of the most important ones, even if you're not a political fanatic, right? Or you can say, I know PLP, I know FNM. This is not PLP and FNM time. This is your government, your money time.
And you can see, we saw the Minister for Education and Technical Vocational Training talked a lot about the fact that their plan of how they're pushing their money in the education side is looking at how do we counter what just came out of COVID, where so many people lost. So now's a chance to say, okay, we heard what she said. Let's look at how those monies are spent. What's the plan underneath that's really going to make sure that this happens so that our kids can regain some of the opportunities they may have lost over the past couple of years? So all of these things have really specific applications. We just need to look and understand them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I want to add to what you just said about, the political fanatics, right?
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to the original goal of Access Parliament and this idea of the social contract, right?
Yeah.
And so we pay taxes every day. We pay VAT every day on everything that we buy. Mm-hmm. And that itself is an adherence to and an involvement in what we call the social contract, mm-hmm. or this idea of society. And this budget is meant to be for all of us, not just PLPs. And, I don't want behemoths to go into their silos and not support this. Mm-hmm. And so when I say supported, I mean supported by getting involved, talking to your MP, and having your say on the budget and using your voice to say, hey, these are my concerns. I had problems with finding housing. I had problems with education of my children. Now, what are you doing to solve those issues? And so for behemoths listening out there, this is a chance to get involved and get informed. And that's one of the taglines of org itself, right? And so you want behemoths to have the ability to have their say, and to first have their say, it's most important to understand what's happening. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Like I was saying, we talk about understanding the government's capacity to deliver on that promise. Mm-hmm. The Ministry of Education says, "Look, we're focused on education. We want to return to normalcy, or we want to decrease the lack of retention." Mm-hmm. And that, those are great words, right? And I see, you know, lion's share of the budget is going to education. But I need to see more specific things like that, right? Like, I need to see line items that suggest that you understand the new dynamic that COVID presents and the intricacies of navigating that, right? So, I mean, there's a particular example I think I'm looking into. Students are preparing to take the GLAD exam in Exuma. Find out that the bus is not coming because there's no gas in it.
What?
The worst time. What? Why would you do that to a student before an exam like GLAD with so much pressure on them? Ensure that there's a contingency plan, right? I want to see a line item for transportation contingency, right? The caller used the term, I think somebody used the term escrow, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a fund that the government handles that goes direct to the fuel supplier so that we ensure that no matter what happens, the children could get to school to take the exam.
And that's so critical to not only see that it's the money is allocated in the budget, which is fundamentally a plan for the year, but then being aware to be able to follow up on those items. Because I think that's the other thing we see is that I actually think what a lot of the government has put in their plan is pretty interesting. There's some very positive areas.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is historically this administration is no different than any others because it's still working with the same driving civil service. It's still working with the same challenges, the obstacles, the risk of natural disasters that start from you know, this week going into November. And so we need to make sure that there's clear investment in how these things work together so that the execution against these plans happens. So there's a prediction of a boost of revenue that's going to be coming from taxes. That's going to be coming from following up on taxes that have been due and haven't been secured in past. Well, we know that there's a challenge of compliance out there. How do we know that we're going to be able to address that? First off, it helps if everybody knows the plan and how that's going to happen, and how we also understand that by doing that, by reclaiming the revenue, it releases some of the debt burden that holds down our country so that we can actually invest in key new areas like solar and technology and digital assets and youth development and all the things that we want to do. So it's really important for people to understand that this is not just about this month. It's not even just about this year. It's about how the Bahamas can move itself forward. And you, as a citizen, have a tremendous capacity to influence that. And so that's what Access Parliament and our Policy Review Center and our Citizens Charter and all of our online free tools are. They give the citizen a chance to educate themselves about the dynamics, educate themselves about the policies, and also offer their own thoughts and opinions. And that's an important, important dynamic.
Absolutely. We got to start a project, man, on the clock in org. We need to find somebody with a policy idea and feed them through the policy center, right, the review center, and partner them with Access Parliament, right? And then we discuss, like, we take the top 10 policy ideas and discuss that process on the show so people could get a sense of how citizens can participate in creating policy, right? And then I'm going to find a politician's Grammy to pinch him to come to the studio, or her pinches are gender neutral to come to the studio, right, to join us in the discussion. Thank you, producer. Text us. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into these texts. We're going to talk a bit more about the budget. What are your guys, what do you think is the most important line item? And maybe we get back to this union discussion. And we're going to have a good day, except for this text here that say that somebody gas is $7.39 a gallon. Hold on. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Stand on Bahamas, it's your boy Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't going to come inside here alive. You don't want to be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I had COVID. You don't want that way.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and this morning we're talking to Tate Adley and Matt Aubrey from Organization for Responsible Government, and we're talking about Access Parliament and how to access the national debate, the budget debate, right? How to access governance through the national budget debate, how to participate in this process as a citizen and stay connected. That's a whole bunch of fancy words. I know org could afford it, but what they're doing is helping break down the big fancy processes, right? They're trying to break down that space that can be very complicated and help you navigate it and understand it. And then with conversations like these to help you understand how you can use Access Parliament and the budget debate to better understand governance and better understand what's going to be happening over the next year, over the next 2 years.
I think that's what we see as such a key opportunity within this is we know that there are a lot of smart, talented, capable folks that are out there, but there's not as much information. Finding information is not as easy. Finding spaces, particularly in such a partisan space. So we wanted to find independent and objective ways and create tools. And even in our own self, we didn't necessarily want to put forward, well, here's the org idea, follow us. What we wanted to do is create a space where those people who are like-minded could go forward, look at the information. So if you go online and you look on Facebook and you follow Access Parliament, every time that the House of Assembly is going to and the Senate are going to be speaking, you will know not only when they're going to be speaking, who's going to be speaking, some of the topics that are scheduled to be spoken for, but you'll be able to get a link where you can actually watch. So you elected somebody in your mm-hmm. your constituency. It will tell you when that person will speak. So you can now watch. What do they say? And does that represent right. why you put them in?
Oh, no. And this is very, very important here, people. This is very, very important because in this paradigm of this political culture where politicians have convinced us that we wait for them versus them waiting for us, right? Like, it's your job to figure out when I'm going to be representing you and speaking to your needs. Because I tell you what, if I have to sit down and watch ZNS all day, I just have flashbacks from when I was 5 and 7 and it was just black and white and static all the time. Y'all, I'll go crazy. I don't have 12 hours. I don't have 8 hours to sit down and wait to see when my MP comes up or wait to see when that subject matter is being discussed. But a schedule makes it easier. And I could even say to my boss, look here, boss, is it possible for me to take lunch at 10:30 to 11:30 so I could catch this debate and I can sit and eat lunch in my car and not disturb my coworkers, you know? It really makes it accessible.
But we also believe that dialogue is two-way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one of the new features, I think it'll be ready soon, is going to be an ability for all the MPs, senators' contact information. So if you see them present and you like something they said, you can just shoot them an email, go directly to them. If you have a concern with something they said, you can shoot them an email.
No.
So we're now creating a back and forth conversation.
I don't want you all to run before you could crawl, right? But are you going to create a space for MPs to submit, right? So a space for MPs to say, hey, I know that people are concerned about this. These are some of the ideas we're thinking about. What do you think?
Well, again, we don't want to be the place that you have to come to get your information. The hope would be that you facilitate direct person-to-person communication. Yeah. We believe in the stakeholders, value of stakeholders on all sides. So we support government. We support folks outside of government, the private sector, civil society, the opposition, any up-and-coming candidates from different parties. We want to create spaces where we can facilitate all of those folks working and talking and communicating together. It doesn't have to have a go-between. We're trying to set up some scenarios so that people learn, both the government and the citizens, how to most effectively and rationally communicate back and forth on issues that will matter and make substantial change.
Look here, you could imagine if all those MPs had access to Access Parliament before they forgot they had to disclose. I bet you that wouldn't... Anyway, that was... Let me go to the text, eh? Ah, boy. Oh, wow. They're texter. I can't read that one. Ms. Green, while I don't agree with Lincoln's tactics, in reality, the Pine Forest cannot protect itself. Why the authorities just didn't deal with this matter for decades? I am of the conclusion that someone in government is working in conjunction with the Haitians to monetize our pine forests. Stop the chatter, address this problem. A nation of cowards won't do.
So can I make a point on Lincoln Bain, if I can?
You can.
So Lincoln Bain, his whole shtick is interesting. Right. And I said this on my Saturday show, and I said, whereas I think that some of his followers or some of his concerns, the people are disgruntled, I say that, right?
Yeah.
Their concerns are valid.
The people want and need a savior.
Yeah.
Now,
need is another thing for me. They want one.
And savior is a broad term.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'll save that. Yeah. And so I think, for people, and I think this goes back to also to the last election, is that people are tired of the system as it is now, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is one of the places where Access Parliament itself can come in. And people want a voice. People want to be involved. And I think it was last year, I think it was more than 600 persons that actually had signed up to take part in the election. And so that shows that there is a growing want for people to get involved and a growing want for people to have a say in their civic processes. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Access Parliament is the place for that. And as we are now in an information phase, whereas we are helping people understand what's happening, I think we could help with that, right? Mm-hmm. And help people to understand how can they get there, and to understand and break down the lingo and the procedures for them to
get them involved in what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And so when I would suggest to listeners that this strategy is poor, it's wanting, it's reckless, there are better ways to engage this problem that do not involve violence. And so what I'm saying is the people, they need a savior.
Yeah.
And if it's just to save them from themselves, they need somebody that can help them.
But I think that means that we've now advocated our ability to have an impact. And unfortunately, I think that's what people feel. And as Tate said, that's kind of some people's reality. What we need to do, and this is where org really focuses on the long term, is leaders will, great leaders will come and go. You'll have great ones, you'll have ones that are faulty, you have ones that are, you know, a combination of both of those spaces. But the reality is systems are what are going to drive things. So we need to push for systems that help us achieve us so that when we do identify leaders, they can work within a system that is going to meet your needs. So when we put all of our hopes on one person, you know, or one party or one group and say it's all going to happen because this group is in place, it discounts the fact that our systems still need a lot of work. And so creating systems for citizens to get involved, to not only be aware of what information is out there and what's going on and what's being done in their name, but also to be able to get, and not only to get informed in that, rather, but to get involved by being able to use your voice, use your mind, use the experience you have. By living in our country, in our communities, in your neighborhood, you have a unique perspective that no one sitting up high really can generate without your input. We need you to express yourself. We need to find ways to let you express yourself that are safe and meaningful.
We need to find ways for you to be able to access the process of governance, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what a savior does, the only thing a savior does is brings you to yourself, right? A savior empowers you to help yourself. And in the entire process of governance, I wonder if the political culture understands that all of these processes to help you govern yourself, and not to govern you.
The only thing I would contend on that is this, a savior implies that we're waiting for, and I think we can't wait for.
So I wanted to add to that because I have an issue myself with this very vanguardist way of thinking, like the vanguard thinking that we need someone out there to lead us, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm truly focused on democracy within government and workplaces as well. And for me, true democracy is ourselves, our people, being involved in that process, being very direct in that. And I think a problem is in getting there is helping is people that they don't see themselves as valuable in these processes. I think they themselves want someone to go out there and do it for them. But I want to tell people that you yourself, as a Bahamian, as living here, as a resident, that is a right enough for you to be involved in these processes. And I want to, in a sense, shatter that idea that we have to wait on a savior. We ourselves can do this ourselves.
That's what Jesus said. I don't think y'all get the message. That's what Jesus did say. Right? The boy who he's called the savior. And that's the message of the savior, right? Is that only you could save yourself. Mm-hmm. Its only purpose is to bring you back to yourself. And mm-hmm. I think government needs to understand that your right. only purpose is to help people govern themselves.
But it's a conversation that requires lots of different voices. We need government to be in place and speak about the fact that there need to be clear systems and that there needs to be accountability, all of mm-hmm. those things. But we also need civil society talking about make sure that our most vulnerable are taken care of, make sure that our world doesn't get wasted.
We didn't get to our union discussion, right? Mm-hmm. But you know the unions, but they're tripartite construct. Mm-hmm. Their construct
tripartite
is government and business and with the workers, right? And they leave civil society right out of that. Another construct, though, civil society is an active functioning part of governance.
And you can, right, that tripartite model looks differently depending on who you look at. But you could say that private sector, civil society, and government, and under civil society and private sector, the unions fall in that space too. Mm-hmm. They serve and they work as a counterbalance and a complement to each other when it's done well.
Absolutely. Caller, you got 30 seconds.
I like to say that, the unions are good, but when the poor is not unionized, it's an issue. You know, our government, they cater to them. They give them, they exempt them from taxes. They give them pay raise and increments and things. You know, we're not a poor going to be unionized. There's no union in this country for the poor. The poor are, I was saying, are the masses, especially the poor, which could bring a party to government or take them out of power. And it's time the poor be represented. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, ain't nobody interested in representing the vulnerable among us. The students, young people, the children, they need a union too. Dead bad. Okay, gentlemen, let me run through these texts dead quick. That's a new system. Guardian has a new system to let me know when I'm almost out of time.
It's a squeak.
Yeah. All right, another text says, Lincoln Baines' situation reminds me of the saying, hurt people hurt people. Good morning. Can you please tell me why was coconut trees planted at the curve of the Eastern Road Beach and Yamacraw Road where people go park and relax? Yeah, because coconuts is fall on your car when you park under them. Hey, no beach property and very little picnic areas are available to us now in Nassau. I'm going to look for that line item. I can be honest with y'all. Y'all need to go look for that line item. Negotiations for beach access for Bahamians. Beach access for Bahamians. Go look for anything to do with that. And if you don't see it, then you know that nobody intends for us to access the beach and it's disappearing. And imagine that somebody turned Liberated African Way into Beach Drive and then want to put up gates and deny access to the beach. Imagine that the MP for the area had to go rent out a property to have access to the beach for an Easter picnic. Thank you, producer. Text says, Crown land is owned by the Bahamas government. Any sale or lease of Crown land, the proceeds go into the public treasury. Please check it out. Y'all don't... It's called Crown land. The government is the representative of the Queen. They swear to her, not to us. The answer lies in the question. And again, Ms. Green, Shell gas is $7.39 a gallon, a new day. I have not seen that myself. But if it is... I would make a beeline to our fuel importers and ask them, how is it that you're making record profits? You're making buku money in this season, but gas is still going up and nearing $8. That's a question that I would ask all day, every day. I mean, if my power stays on, that is. At a dark weekend, you guys have a bright, bright day. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Tate. Thank you, producer. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.